Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As with the other epistles, this was a letter and it was intended to be read straight through. The folks who got it didn't say, well, let's read a little bit and come back in a few days and read some more. The whole letter is one piece. But as we look at it this morning, we're going to be looking at chapters 10 through 12. So we've got a lot of ground to cover. Buckle your seatbelts. 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 10, this is God's word. "By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we'll be ready to punish every act of obedience once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters, for some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory, but let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. I hope you'll put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I've made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I'm not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I'm nothing. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. How are you inferior to the other churches except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I'm ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you. Yet, crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent you? I urged Titus to go to you and sent our brother with him. Titus didn't exploit you, did he? Did we not act in the same spirit and follow the same course? Have you been thinking all along that we've been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come to you, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Again, Paul has had a prolonged relationship with the church in Corinth, and there have been horrible problems that had to be addressed. What we have in our Bible as 1 Corinthians includes references to a previous letter that Paul had sent to the Corinthians. So we only have two of at least four letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And yet from what we do know, both in 1 Corinthians and now again in this passage, is that the church had a lot of problems. The church in Corinth had serious problems, and a lot of people today who consider themselves evangelicals would really not want to go to that church. It's a church with problems. It was a church with problems because Christians have problems. Some of them hide it better than others. But the fact of the matter is, all of us who are in Christ are still a work in progress. We haven't arrived yet. And so if you look and you see that those people have problems and you say, ooh, I'm not going to get, ooh, wait, those people do too. Well, let's see, I'll go, oh. You're going to run into that everywhere you go if you have your eyes open. So what do? Well, the Bible tells us we're to love one another and encourage one another toward love and good works. It doesn't mean that we just go ahead and tell people, that's fine, everybody messes up, and encourage them to continue in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul writes to the Romans. God forbid. We're to turn from sin. We're supposed to be a work in progress, not a work in a rut. We're supposed to be being changed by the renewing of our minds. We're supposed to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul here is writing to a group of folks, and he has heard, as he references earlier in this letter, he's heard that they've repented, that they've improved, that there's progress. But based on the history, Paul knows there's likely still some serious problems. And one of the problems that has been a persistent problem with the Corinthians is false teachers who came in claiming to be apostles, and in fact, they were pretenders. They were putting themselves up in order to get financial support from the Corinthians. They were saying, you need to support us. We're the real apostles. You need to listen to our teaching. We can tell you things that the apostle Paul doesn't know. Paul's a nobody. One of the proofs that Paul is a nobody, these false teachers said, is the fact that he's had all these problems. The guy spends so much time in prison. If God's hand of blessing were on him, he wouldn't be going through that. These folks were early proclaimers of the false gospel that is still rampant in the world today, and that's the name it and claim it, health and wealth, prosperity gospel, that says, if you are doing the will of God, you're going to have a jet. You're going to live in a mansion. You are going to be so successful because God is the king of the universe and he prospers those who do his will. Let me tell you right now, we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ in places like Afghanistan who are hiding with their families because the Taliban has sent word, we're coming for you. Our brothers and sisters who give their lives for the gospel are promised by God rewards in glory that are beyond compare. And so Paul begins to boast, if you will, about the things that mark him as an apostle. And it's an amazing description. He says, I'm out of my mind to talk like this, but I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. Now, you see, these false apostles say, why would you want to be like him? And Paul wants them to know, hey, it's true. I've been through all this. But that's because I am bent on bringing the gospel to people who haven't heard. What really marks apostles? The word means those who are sent. And Paul was sent by God to bring the gospel to places like Corinth. Because people need to know Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, as Paul describes his situation, one of the things that he shares with them is an ongoing problem. He said back in chapter 11, verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And then he says, I'll go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. Chapter 12. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I'll boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weakness. Well, was that Paul who had that experience? He makes it sound like, no, I could talk about a guy like that and boast about him, but I'm not going to do that regarding myself. But then look at what follows. Verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations. So what does that tell you? Paul's letting them know that, by the way, that was me. That guy I'm talking about, that was me. But I don't want to boast about those kinds of things. I want to tell you about what God has done to keep me from boasting, to keep me from becoming conceited. And he says, God gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Sometimes there are worse things than a chronic problem. Because God can use a chronic problem, even a chronic health problem, in order to keep us from a worse problem. And you know what would be a worse problem for any of us? Pride. How did Satan get kicked out of heaven? Pride. Let me tell you something. There's only one who can save us. It's Jesus. Don't be impressed by anybody who tries to exalt themselves. And don't fall into the trap of people who will come along and try and tell you that what you need is to exalt yourself. It doesn't matter how great your stature in your generation. Very soon, it's all gone. The only thing that matters for those who serve Christ is what people think of Jesus. That's what it's about. And that's what Paul is talking about here as he writes to the Corinthians. He says, these people who come in, they'll slap you in the face and you just take it. Do you understand? There are lots of phony religious people whose goal is to exalt themselves, and they're happy to exploit people in the process.
Well, that just makes me not want to go to church.
No! Don't miss the point. The point is, we need to get our eyes on the Lord. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people whom he loves. He loves the Corinthians. And he's appealing to them to please, please, don't be seduced by false teachers. He says, I'm about to come visit you again, and when I do, I don't want to have to exercise church discipline. There's a statement early on in this section that I just find delightful. And there are questions about how it's translated, but I think this is a good translation. We will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You hear what he said? He says, we have authority to discipline you. And we'll be ready to do so as soon as you don't need it. What's he saying? It's the same basic thing as when a parent says, don't make me come up there. The message that Paul's giving is, look, I have apostolic authority to discipline you, and I'll do it if I have to. Please don't make me do it. I have 7 kids. I had to discipline them because God demands it if we love our kids. But I can tell you, it was not fun. It was not something I enjoyed. It was something I did because I loved them. The only reason that we discipline is out of love. And I pray God that the churches in America will recover the necessary truth that a church that has no discipline is a church that is disobedient to God. Church discipline is one of the essential marks of a healthy church.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.